Oh. Okay, Judy, the car jog is false row. So we're resuming our full council meeting from Monday night. So hopefully everyone can hear me clearly, as we're currently in unprecedented times. Can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for the discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or non-significant non-financial interests which they have in any items of business before the committee today. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item to use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you're physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure that their cameras are switched on before speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, and type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging facility. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chair will call for a proposer or a seconder. This should be done using the instant messaging feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it may be missed. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated through the instant messenger will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and the seconder in turn to unmute and indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the instant messenger so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. So, folks, I'd like to start off tonight by welcoming our very special guests who are with us in the chamber here tonight. And they're the ladies from the Down High School, Aisha, Cherith, Sarah and Anna. And they're joining us here tonight as they have a motion coming up later in the meeting. I'd also like to acknowledge the sad passing of Michael McKeown, a party member formerly from Newry and living in Warren Point. May he rest in peace. So, we're now 6 months into my role as chairperson, and as we enter into the festive period, we embark on another mental health topic. Around this time, it is very easy for us to get caught up with the hustle and bustle of Christmas and focus on issues such as work and buying presents, and perhaps the long-awaited Christmas night out that we often dismiss. The simple reality is that people continue to face difficult circumstances that affect their mental health. So for the month of December, I'm going to be focusing on the mental health of our workers, including those in emergency services, GP facilities, hospitality, and all frontline staff. Our frontline workers have kept our communities moving. They fight to keep the health service going to ensure public transport was operating and working hard, often in understaffed environments due to self-isolation, to serve food and drink and to keep our supermarket shelves stocked. It's easy to recognise the hard work involved in these sectors, but important to remember that we do not see the full insight into the day and daily dealings of these workers and the difficulties that they face. In recent times, with the disruption to accessing services such as GP appointments, staff have been battling a tide of abuse. GP surgeries are frequently being pushed to the point of collapse and a growing number of staff are quitting. The abuse of GPs and their staff is indefensible and it has a significant and detrimental impact to our workers' health and wellbeing. Reports from hospitality staff stating that they have faced an increase in abuse since the onset of the pandemic due to restrictions, and business owners saying they're concerned over the welfare of their staff is worrying. This is not fair on workers who deserve to be treated with decency as they try to earn a living for themselves and their families. It is understandable as we continue to recover from the crisis. People are frustrated and want to see a return to normal services. However, this does not give way for anyone to harass staff. These workers are ordinary people trying to carry out their job for the betterment of themselves and their families. Their rights must be protected and must be treated with respect. So to my fellow councillors, we all know too well how difficult it can be in our lives as elected representatives and the challenges that we face daily. The vile threats and abuse on social media can have a huge impact on a person's mental health, and it is important that we stand united in tackling this behaviour. So I'm asking all elected reps and people of the district to take time to reflect on how you've been treated in your role, how you have communicated with others, and the impact that this may have had. To build a better, stronger community, we must all play our part in treating each other with common decency and respect, and to ensure that as we do face difficulties, we all help each other to get through such times with kinder words and actions. So, thank you. We'll kick off the meeting. Councillor McAteer?
Yes, Chair, I wasn't going to come in at all, but I'm absolutely delighted that actually you took the opportunity in your remarks to reflect on what our local hospitality industry is going through at the moment. And I know that the people you refer to will be absolutely delighted at the leadership of the council has taken in actually putting this into the public domain. I spent over an hour last weekend with proprietors of a local establishment, virtually broken down in tears at the abuse that they were getting. So I'm delighted that you brought this up, and I think we as councillors should be brave in this one, send a strong message out that whatever the people's views are on vaccination, etc., don't start to abuse the people who are trying to implement the law, really, and trying to facilitate people and facilitate the rest of us. So totally endorse what you're saying, and well done for bringing it up. Thank you
very much, Councillor McAteer. Okay, so we'll move on to item number one. Is there any apologies?
Yes, Chair, we have apologies from Councillors Gallagher and Stokes.
Councillors Hannah and Owen.
Thank you.
Councillor McMurray as well, Chair.
Thank you. Okay, item number two, any declarations of interest? No?
None, Chair.
Okay, we'll move on to item number three, which is the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 1st of November 2021. So we'll go through page 1, page 2, page 3 and page 4. Can I get a proposer and a seconder?
Still proposed, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Kern. And Councillor Enright, thank you. Can we... Any matters arising?
Yes, Chairperson. We sent a motion to finance, the Finance Committee, to set a target for renewable energy for our council over the next 10 years. It hasn't come back to main council yet. I'm just wondering, can that happen soon? It seems to have got lost.
Sure, it's my understanding. Sure. On the committee. Sorry, Jenny, are you there?
Yeah. That will be tabled at SPNR now in December, that notice motion.
Okay, thank you very much. There's no other matters arising, so we'll move on to item number four, which is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 1st of November 2021. We'll go through page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9 and page 10. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor McAvoy. Any matters arising? Councillor McAteer, you have a question?
Yeah, me again, Chair. Yeah, it's just to correct the record, actually. I had head of that meeting, but my name hasn't been recorded.
Okay.
Chair, we will take that amendment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move on to item number five, which is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 25th of October 2021. page by page for accuracy is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon. Seconded by Councillor Byrne. Any matters arising? Kate, do you have a question in there?
Yeah, just a brief question on the follow-up meeting, the special meeting with the Southern Health Forum, which will be arranged as soon as possible. If we can maybe get dates back. I know it'll be probably after Christmas, but Chair, if we just keep it on the agenda and get dates back on that.
Sure, we will come back with dates pre-Christmas on it.
Oh, brilliant. Cheers. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
Sorry. Just to clarify, the meeting mightn't be pre-Christmas, but the date will be pre-Christmas.
Either way, it's brilliant. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, we'll move on to item number 6, which is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 8th of November. And we'll go through page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, and page 12. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Burgess and seconded by Councillor Howell. Any matters arising? Councillor Devlin?
Thank you, Chair. Forgive me, my camera is switched off. I'm not sure if it's been a storm or what it is. I'm on 4G here in the house with no Wi-Fi, so apologies. I have two items actually to raise, Chair, if that's okay. The first one is on page 4 regarding the visitor access project. It's more of a comment, Cathy, if that's okay. We all know the very significant issue we've had in the Mourns in particular in recent years, and the onset of the pandemic was really just the catalyst for the huge spike in the footfall that we have all seen. But a spike really that, according to industry experts, is the new normal. So I really welcome this funding boost, which will hopefully build upon the good work of the Mourns multi-agency and moving forward. And as has been said many times before, we really want people to enjoy our beautiful outdoors and district, but to respect the landscape and those who work and reside there, Chair. And I've also got another comment to make regarding page 7, if that's okay, the beach facilities, the COVID recovery group, if possible.
Okay, is it a matter arising, Councillor Devlin?
Yes, it's indeed. Yeah.
Okay, yep, go ahead.
Okay, so page 7 is regarding the beach facilities and the cold water therapy, the open water swimming. I suppose, just we all know, right across the district, and we've seen the huge spike in popularity of outdoor swimming. I see it every day here in Newcastle, as I'm sure many councillors do right across the district. So I'm really pleased that Newcastle will now be included in the scope of this work, and hopefully there'll be benefits to that moving forward, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Traynor?
Thanks, Chair, for bringing me in there. No, this is just one in relation to the e-charging points on the ERT agenda, and it was really, Chair, just that obviously we welcome the work that's being done in relation to the feasibility for the residential charge points that's being brought forward. I suppose it's maybe a question then, you know, following on from that project and following on from those feasibility works, have officers tried to identify other funding streams that would allow us to increase the capacity for e-charging across the district?
Thanks, Councillor. Chair, is Connor, are you on?
Yes, Chair. Yes, we're constantly scanning the environment for funding opportunities for a range of initiatives, including the charging of electric vehicles, and we'll continue to do so.
Thanks, Connor. Okay, there's no other matters arising, so we'll move on to item number 7, which is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 11th of November 2021. So page by page is page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, and page 8. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor McGuinness. And is there any matters arising? Councillor Devlin?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just a comment in relation to page 7 as the Castlelan Forest Park project and the lease. I suppose just for any members that are on the Castlelan Task and Finish Group, we know the long process there has been to get us to this point. So I suppose I just want to put on record my absolute thanks to our officers who worked the last hour, shall I say, to get this lease over the line. We all know what an amazing project this is and one that we're all very, very proud to be a part of. So a massive thank you to the officers for their endurance in getting us to this point, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Connor, you're looking to come in there?
Yes, Chair, it's just a follow-up on the agreed actions, and I can confirm that the lease presented the Council has now received agreement from National Lottery Heritage Fund, and we have resolved all outstanding issues between Council and Forest Service. It's just updated full Council. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks a million, Connor. It's very welcome news. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 8, which is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 15th of November 2021. We'll go through page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11 and page 12. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Walker. Seconded by Councillor McKevitt. Thank you. Can I, any matters arising? Councillor Trainer.
Thanks again, Chair. I suppose I don't really want to go too deep into this particular one because I realise that it was an item that was in committee. But the question I'll ask will hopefully not bring the item back into committee due to the disruption that would cause. It's in relation to the Leisure Reopen Plan. I'm not going to ask a specific question because I know that would bring us into committee. It's more a request that officers engage with the counterparts across the 11 councils. I'm very much aware that we are one out of three councils that are taking a certain approach. The other 8 councils are taking a different approach. This causes confusion for residents, certainly within this district and across the north. And it would be important, obviously, to ensure that the messaging that's being put out in relation to coronavirus, there is a uniformity of approach taken. And I would ask the council officers from here engage actively with their counterparts and try and find some way of having a uniform approach when dealing with issues around, for example, leisure reopening and other services that are provided through councils.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Trainer. We'll ask Michael to come back to you on that just at another time. Councillor Devon?
Yes, Chair, thank you very much. I don't have the page number in front of me. I just want to make a comment regarding obviously Tropicana slide in Newcastle, the demolition. I know that many within the community have been disappointed that the infamous Tropicana slide is now being demolished. I think for many of us, it's a part of all of our childhoods. But I wanted to put on record and re-emphasise, I suppose, our commitment to a new fit-for-purpose centre in Newcastle. And that process has already commenced with the appointment of an economist to proceed with the business. This case, Chair, so I know that some people are disappointed that the slide is being removed and being demolished, but hopefully this is our first step towards that new leisure centre that we're all looking for and yearning for in Newcastle. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Laura. Councillor Hannan, you're looking in? Oh, for Barra. Barra, you're looking in there?
Oh, I'm all right. I was just having all sorts of difficulty getting my video working and getting my chat working. His Wi-Fi's playing havoc here. It must be the wind outside. No, go on ahead. Wrong item.
It's your fault anyway, Barra. It's Storm Barra. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. You stole my joke just the last second. Yeah, it's on page six. Obviously, welcome the additional money for the educational programs that's running across Midland, because when we post the information flyers that are given to us for the council, they're one of the things that gets quite a lot of engagement with people, friends and family, and in and around across Midland area. There's great programs being run. I just do want to make one comment on it, just maybe to make it a wee bit more successful. It's following on from a social media training there the other night, and I was going back and looking at the flyers. When we're putting out graphic flyers with a serious amount of text, the platform themselves, like Facebook, are just filtering them out. And I did check on that, and it is a major problem. We've posted up top with those educational programs that are just laden with text instead of images, and they're getting filtered out, so they're not getting the reach that they should be getting. So maybe if we can tidy that up, and it'll get more people interested. But yeah, absolutely welcome the additional money. The programs are excellent. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Pete. So we'll move on to item number 9. Which is the minutes of the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting held on the 16th of November 2021. And we'll through page by page for accuracy, so page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, and page 12. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Kern and seconded by Councillor Andrews. And matters arising, Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, Chair, it was on just, I think, on probably appropriate in page number 10, mixed recycled contract. Now, not the contract itself, but could I just ask, does any of this include the soft plastics recycling programme? Or what is that being dealt with? Because someone approached me recently saying, you know, where are we with this? Some of the supermarkets are offering that dry plastics, or soft plastic, I should say, recycling option in the supermarkets. But I was just wondering, is there anything specific on that from Johnny?
Johnny, do you want to come in on that?
Yeah, Chair, very quickly, this is the curbside collection service, which would be supposedly known as your blue bin service to all the residents. Yeah. Certain plastics can be accepted, but not all. But I'm happy, Chair, to pick up with Councillor McAteer after the meeting and give him further detail on that, if that's acceptable.
That's great. Thank you, Johnny.
Just to enlighten, obviously the public are listening in on this. Is there a move on towards the soft plastic and to dealing with that?
There are, Chair, but it's been taken through two pieces of legislation in Westminster, which is the producer's responsibility draft legislation and also the deposit return scheme. But again, Chair, I'm happy to follow up with Councillor McAteer after the meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Riley?
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. It says there that I'm actually a non-committee member, but from memory, I was appointed onto Neighbourhood Services. Maybe if the staff would check that. And can I also thank the council for the way that they have restored the Christmas tree in Kilkee. That was a really good bit of work to get it done so quickly, given the degree of damage that was done. So thanks very much.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Riley. We'll get Democratic Services to chase that up for you as well. So we'll move on to item number 10, which is the planning section, the local development plan, and it's just one page. So can I get a proposer and a seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Traynor and seconded by Councillor McAteer. Is there any matters arising?
No, Chair, actually, was in relation to, I was a bit slow in the uptake on item 9. Sorry.
Sorry, Terry.
It was just in relation to, I was going to ask a wee question in relation to the question and to the Neighbourhood Services. I'm sorry, I was a wee bit slow on getting the queue in.
Right, okay, I'll let you in, Terry, but I need to be brief, or just need to move on?
I'll just be brief. I just wanted to know, has Kevin been in touch with, I know there was an action committee at the last meeting, has Kevin been in touch with the community group in Gargoyle?
Can I ask Kevin to pick up with you, Terry?
That'll do.
The meeting, yeah.
That'll do, lovely. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to the correspondence and conferences. So items number 11 and item number 12 or from Noton. Can I get a proposer in a second, or from Noton, please? Proposed by Councillor Kern. And can I get a seconder, please? Seconded by Councillor McAvoy. Any matters arising? Councillor Enright, are you looking in?
I was going to pick up on the planning policy review in tourism, but I don't think it covers the issue that I was talking about. I was expecting a planning set of planning minutes that would cover renewable energy, and there were substantial amendments made, and I couldn't see any reference to it.
No, I don't think they're on the minutes, Councillor Enright. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 13 and 14, which are both correspondence for Noton as well. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for Noton, those two items? Proposed by Councillor Murphy and seconded by Councillor Hyle. And Councillor Hyle, are looking in?
Sorry, Chair. Yes, just if I can make just a very brief comment just on correspondence, item number 13 there from Derry City and Strabane. Just look, the loss of a child is hugely traumatic, obviously, an awful experience for any parent, and the impact on someone who has suffered that sad loss, you know, it doesn't bear thinking about. And regardless at what stage it would happen, it has the same impact. The loss of a child is just simply devastating. And I think all parents, you know, they need to be supported, you know, and get compassionate leave from their employment to give them the necessary time to grieve, which, of course, there's no measurement. But while nobody can prepare a plan for that bereavement or grief, I think, you know, I mean, we should be supporting this and agreeing with what the correspondence has come here from Derry City Council. And, you know, parents don't need that worry of financial insecurity following the loss of a child, and something that no parent wants to have to contend with. So just those are just my comments, Chair.
Thanks very much, Roisin. Okay, so we're going to move on to the notices of motion now. So first of all, a few months ago, the Women's Working Group that's been set up within the Council hosted an event during Local Democracy Week. I know I can speak on behalf of the whole of the Women's Working Group to say what a fabulous event it was. And we were completely blown away by the talent in our schools across the district. And it was a really difficult decision to pick a motion out of the ones that were presented to us. But the ladies here tonight from the Down High were picked as the winners. And they're here tonight to present their motion to us in full council. So I'm going to bring the guards in to... Okay. I'm going to bring the girls in to present their motion, but just prior to that, I'm going to ask Aoife to come in as chair of the Women's Working Group to propose that we hear this motion, propose the motion.
Yes, no problem, Cathy.
Thanks very much, Aoife. And Councillor McKevitt to second it, please.
Yes, happy to second the motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Karen. Okay, girls, I'm going to hand over to yourselves to read out your motion.
Net Zero 2050. There's no better time than now for our community to make a positive impact on climate change. Northern Ireland has the lowest density of woodland in Europe and is well behind the UK average. Just 8% of the land in Northern Ireland is forest, compared with 13% in Britain.
Agriculture can destroy biodiversity by converting natural habitats to intensely managed systems and releasing pollutants, mainly greenhouse gases.
There is more carbon dioxide in our atmosphere than any other time in human history.
We are here today to represent Down High School as part of the Eco Committee. Down High is an eco-ambassador school and is committed to enacting change in our local environment, having initiated a number of projects in the last few years. We are looking for the Council to help us organise and run an Eco Fun Day event involving the wider local community. This project would be an expansion on our previous project, Downpatrick School's Community Woodland, which began in November 2019 and was a cross-community project involving local schools and Council. Through this project, we have been able to plant over 600 trees from a range of species at Dunleith Park, doing our bit for the environment. We aim to expand this project by planting 2,026 trees in honour of the COP26 Climate Summit, which was held this year, involving the local community, not just schools. This year, Down High has already completed our Leaf Pledge initiative, a Newry Mourn and Down district-wide initiative involving local nursery, primary and secondary schools, giving the younger generation the opportunity to voice their thoughts and actions in response to climate change. Our community Eco Fun Day will be focused around expanding our tree planting project, while also involving local businesses, eco-friendly activities and education on climate change and the environment for the local community. On the day, it's planned, people will give donations upon entry. They will then receive a tree, which they will be able to plant in a delegated pre-dug hole. We are suggesting to give the people the option to spread wildflowers throughout the day. This will help to promote the biodiversity. There will be food options that will be that will provide a range of food options, including vegan and vegetarian options, which may encourage some to try a more plant-based diet, or even help drive the Meat Free Monday initiative, further helping to reduce CO2 emissions. There should be local stalls selling goods, for example, some of the stalls found at the artisan market, or even offer the chance to local businesses to come, as the current times have been kind of few. This could help boost our local economy as well as our environment and encourage the community to shop local. We plan to hold a range of activities to make it an enjoyable day for all ages. We had thought it would be lovely to have a stage or platform of some sort to allow local people who are also passionate about saving the environment the chance to talk openly, or even the chance to invite local musicians to provide the entertainment for the day.
What we would love from you is help with getting in contact with local vendors and finding local eco-friendly businesses within the community that would like a stall during the fun day, such as selling plants or bee bombs, and getting vendors from the artisan market as well as sustainable butchers to sell products. We think it's important to get funding for signage showing the different types of wildlife and biodiversity in the area. This would allow people to count species and help monitor biodiversity, as well as helping to reconnect people with nature. We would need a stage and help setting it out, as this would allow us to get guest speakers who are passionate about the environment, as well as hosting demonstrations, possibly of how to make bee bombs or vegetarian cooking. Additionally, we would appreciate help in getting local nurseries and garden centres to donate trees and wildflower seeds. We would need the council to provide us with the land necessary to plant the trees, either through expanding the Dunleith site or establishing a new site. We would love help with advertising the event to ensure we reach as many people as possible. On the day itself, we would also need manual help and staff to ensure the day runs smoothly.
COP26 was committed to making a difference as an international community. We hope our proposed fun day will make a difference in our local community of Downpatrick, because small steps make a big impact. Part of COP26's ongoing plan is to plant 30,000 hectares of trees by 2025. We want to play our part as a community to plant more trees to help reduce carbon emissions in the atmosphere. The area of Dunleith Park is naturally liable to flooding. Trees planted on this land can drain the surface water to repurpose the land as a recreational area, whilst also sequestering carbon dioxide. By planting wildflower patches, we can help increase the biodiversity of our local wildlife. We hope that a community fun day would benefit the entire community to work together to meet new people and to encourage positive mental health. We are here today because we understand that it is our generation's duty to tackle climate change, and it is your generation's duty to help us. So please help us by giving us a voice. Thank you for listening, and we would be happy to answer any questions you have for us.
Ladies, well done. Thank you very much for your presentation. And I thank everybody in the chamber and joining us virtually will see why we were completely blown away by this presentation and this motion. Aoife, I'm going to bring yourself in as a proposer, and then Karen, yourself as seconder, if you want to come in first, and then and we'll go through the rest. I know there's quite a few who want to make a comment.
Thank you, Cathy, and thank you, girls. Look, I'm going to be very brief. I just want to thank the girls from Down High School. We were blown away, all of us, whenever we met all of the schools. We were very lucky to meet them on in Democracy Week, and the motions that they brought forward were all very passionate about it and all very important.
So myself and two other councillors, yeah, had the pleasure of meeting with all the girls and when they initially took the motion forward. It's just great to see these young women coming forward. I wish I was half as confident as they were whenever I was their age. I think we may watch our jobs because these girls are very good and they're very confident. But look, just as chair of the women's working group, I think that it's certainly we as a council we completely support this motion. I'd like to think so, and certainly Sinn Féin supports it. But it certainly builds the confidence in these future women in hopefully leadership roles or if they ever take a route in politics. But I'm very proud of them. And I want to thank them again for coming forward today with this fantastic motion. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Aoife. Councillor McKevitt?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. And isn't it a pleasure to come to a council meeting to hear so passionately the youth talking about our climate and what we can do for it and how we can help out. I have to say that it's a credit to you and a credit to your school and your parents for to be able to come here in a sometimes daunting place in a chamber, but you absolutely delivered it so well. And you asked the councillors, will we be the voice? And I have to say, like, how could we say no to that? It was absolutely brilliant. The ideas that they've had through that, some of them will be a wee bit difficult to deliver, but I call on our officers this evening after hearing that presentation to do all we can to identify land so that this is a realistic and deliverable project. I think there might be a few that have areas of scientific interest as well that maybe we'll be able to, landowners that might be interested in planting some trees there as well on their site. So that's something that we should be looking into. But listen, I agree with what Aoife and Cathy have said before me. Use our credits. And well done and congratulations. And the Local Democracy Week for me has taken a massive step forward in the contributions from all our schools right across our district. For the idea to come to the council and to do what we've done, it has just blown my mind, and I know it has blown the rest of the councillors' mind as well on what can be achieved. And what a fine example to be the very first Local Democracy school winners to come and make that presentation. And I can tell you what, for the years that are to follow in this chamber, yes, are going to be a hard act to follow. But congratulations and well done to you all.
Thank you, Karen. Councillor Lewis, I'm going to bring you in. I know you're also a member of the working group and we're involved in the Local Democracy Week as well.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, it's just to repeat what's already been said and to thank the schools for coming in and presenting to the council, and especially thank the pupils there from Down High for bringing this motion forward. That there's a lot of good work in it. There's stuff that the council can definitely bring forward, and it's great to see that young people are committed to promoting promoting this type of initiative within our district, and that they're not simply content on sitting back and allowing the council or whoever else to take that lead, that they're determined, that they're in there, that they're making that difference, and that they're willing to bring forward these proposals. And I think if the council can and the council officers can put this proposal together in some shape or form, that it's definitely something that along with other councillors will definitely support and love to see.
Thanks very much, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Walker.
Thank you, Chair. And on behalf of the DUP group, we will be fully supporting the motion that's been brought forward this evening. And I would like to pay tribute to the pupils of Down High. They're a credit to this district in bringing this type of motion forward, especially when COP26 had just finished a couple of weeks ago. You know, it's to the fore at the minute, and we've seen young people there over there in Scotland, you know, trying to encourage our politicians to take climate change seriously. Now, it's good to see that young people are. It's a hot topic at the minute. So it is. And I think they deserve all the support they can get. And as I said, they're a credit to this district. And I would go one further and maybe ask this council. Last week I seen on national television that the Welsh Assembly is making available a tree for every pupil in Wales to plant, whether in an area or planting their own garden or whatever. I would ask this council maybe to write to our assembly, along with the other 10 councils, write to the other 10 councils asking would they support this, and ask our assembly, if the Welsh Assembly can do it, our assembly can do it. And I think that would be great. So it would, if our assembly agreed to provide a tree for every pupil in Northern Ireland. So I would make that a proposal that we do that as a council.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Ladies, can I ask, are you happy to accept that amendment from Councillor Walker and add it into your motion? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And can I just confirm with Aoife and Karen, you are happy enough with that as the proposer and seconder? Yep. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Okay, Councillor Traynor.
Thanks, Chair. First of all, I have to say, if the future is in the hands of our young people, well, we're in safe hands. The passion that's being shown by these young women in this issue instills in me great confidence. And I would like to think I'm not that far off your age, but you're certainly the next generation. You're the young generation who are going to solve the problems. And hopefully my generation and the generations above me will help to empower you and support you. The SDLP will welcome and support this motion presented by Down High School Eco Group. And we believe that the group should be commended for what they've brought before this council tonight. Young people have, over recent years, been at the forefront of raising awareness on climate change and the need to address it with meaningful action. This council has a duty to support, encourage and empower these young people and all within our district to effect change, especially when dealing with the climate crisis. As elected representatives, my colleagues and I in the SDLP look forward to playing our part within this council to push the agenda on climate change and look forward to supporting the initiatives such as those outlined. I know that there is work needed from councillors and officials to bring the vision within this motion to fruition, but I look forward to working with all colleagues across this council chamber to do so, and that we will meet the challenge that's set down by these young people of the Down High Eco Group for our council to stand up and show leadership. And I'll leave it to that, so we'll share.
Thanks very much, John. Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Well, I was lucky enough to hear this motion the first time round, and I'm equally as impressed hearing it again this evening. It's so comprehensive and relevant and well thought out and well presented by all four of you. Well done, girls. It just shows how rooted and relevant you are in your community and that you understand what the community needs. You just went as far as thinking of local commerce, to ecology, to, you know, bringing everybody together. And then I suppose when we look at COVID recovery, you know, it's the perfect idea to bring all those things together. So I just want to commend you, and I think you have done a fantastic job. And it's great to see female voices in the chamber. I'm always a great advocate for that. Someday we'll balance it out in here, okay? Hopefully we use here with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. Councillor Brown?
Oh, sorry, Chair. Sorry, I thought I hit the mute button there. Sorry, just to concur with all the comments that have gone before me. It's been a fantastic presentation of the motion here. It's great to see this sort of initiative coming out of the Women's Working Group. So, you know, well done to the councillors on that and bringing this sort of thing forward. Like John, who spoke before, I consider myself one of the young councillors. I don't know how true that still is at politics. If you girls ever get into it, ages you very quickly, very prematurely. But I think I am still the youngest councillor here. But it's great to see you guys, the next generation coming up through with such bright and brilliant ideas. everything you've said tonight in terms of climate and the importance of biodiversity and the importance of partnership working and joined up thinking is really hits the nail on the head. As a party, the Alliance Party, you have our full support for the motion. We are 100% behind the need to tackle the climate emergency. That's why earlier this year we published our Green New Deal document, which in it, amongst many different policies, includes a commitment to plant 2,000 hectares of new trees between now and 2050. So very much in line with the ideas that you're putting across tonight. And I just think it's fantastic, like Una said, how you've managed to tie together all of the different aspects of your community into a comprehensive plan and something that is very actionable and will actually see a tangible outcome. And you know, a lot of motions come forward, a lot of proposals come forward that don't necessarily always go anywhere in council, but I am completely confident that this is one that we can take forward as a council and deliver on, and it will have a genuine and lasting impact for our community. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Councillor Brown. We don't always agree on things, but I definitely agree with you that politics ages you.
You're just behind me, Cathy, or just ahead of me, it is. Not by much.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. First of all, I know on previous occasions in my time as a councillor, and both the Old Down Council and the present incarnation, there's been many occasions that we've had various youth groups and organisations that have actually come into this chamber, and I must say the standards of debate then have been very impressive, and I must say you've set a very high standard this evening. You know, first of all, I'd like to congratulate the councillors on the grouping, and also our councillors to be. You never know, the spark could be lit here tonight in a lot of years, you could sit where we are. Well, anyway, as I said, on many occasions, young people are our hope for the future and a shining example, and yous are all leading the way, and all I can say is keep up the good work and keep the pressure on. And I do agree, I think it's a good idea with what Councillor Walker touched on about the trees, because I remember 10 or 11 years ago on a cold frosty morning out in Crossgar planting, along with young people and others, what maybe a couple of hundred trees, and they're blossoming away like good ones. So at least that's a good idea. But again, I'm proud of yous. Yous are ambassadors for the district, and I wish yous all the best, and we'll support you in any way we can for the future. But keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. Like other councillors, I would welcome this motion from the ladies from Down High. And I must say, it has a feel-good feeling to it. And I must say, I share that myself. But it mustn't take away from the responsibility we as councillors have for setting targets in council for renewable energy, for EV vehicle parking points, for when our council is going to become a zero carbon council, and to set out a detailed plan with actionable steps along the way to make it happen in reality. But these sorts of motions need to be supported because they create public support. They share the importance of climate change amongst the public at large. But it shouldn't stop us doing what we should be doing, which is setting targets for management on all the key 11 headings. At the moment, we have no targets in this council for any aspect of climate change that matters. And what troubles me the most is that there's none of them that wouldn't actually make the ratepayer better off. Nevertheless, I welcome this. And from a practical point of view, I could point out that in Dunleith Park, the local community have asked council to supply 30 trees, holly, ash, alder, and other species for the two areas that were recently fenced off, what used to be antisocial areas. There were also two areas of wetland that were preserved in the redevelopment of Dunleith Park, where they have bog oak, birch and willow present. I would suggest that the three other wetland areas could be looked after as part of this project that the Down High girls are proposing. I know that also we've been trying to get the grass-cutting regime in Dunleith a bit more sustainable, not cutting to within 1 inch every 2 weeks, but actually letting areas grow two or three months of the year, particularly up in May, so that the bees and the butterflies emerging have something to eat. And the areas around the new path that are basically going to be very hard to cut. They could be used as part of the Down High suggestion for wilding or creating perennial plants that will produce flowers at the appropriate times of year. So I suggest that this ties in very nicely what the local community wants, but it doesn't obviate us as councillors having hard targets in the 11 areas that we need to have in order to become a really sustainable council. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Councillor Casey?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks very much for letting me in. I too would like to congratulate the students from Down High bringing this forward through Aoife and Karen. It definitely will make a great contribution towards helping us out of the mess we're in, which our generation has unfortunately created. And it'll be down to our young people to actually help us get through this particular crisis. I was at a conference recently, and it's all about global warming and how we can mitigate against it. And by and large, the majority of speakers at it were all agreed that it will be our young people who will help us in a big way get us through this, with our assistance, of course. But there's one, Councillor Borges was also at the same conference, and he was at the COP26 conference as well. He brought up an issue about all the global leaders were all based about 20 or 30 miles away from the conference centre itself, and they hired a fleet of electric vehicles to get them to and from the conference centre to the, where they were staying. But when they got to the conference centre, there was no charging points, so they had to hire a fleet of diesel generators to charge the vehicles. So that's some irony there, trying to save the planet, and they got themselves into that mess. So congratulations again, and I hope our council can give you all the help it can do. And once again, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Councillor Kern, you have an S in there. Do you want to make a comment? Come on ahead.
I fully agree with everything that has been said, but I fully support this motion from the Down High School. And that asks council to help them in every way they can in the organisation of this community fund day. But the other factor is, it's great to see our young people, especially the young from the Down High, taking the lead in this field. It shows the way forward is going to be much better than it is now. So I can totally congratulate them. Thank you.
Thank you, Dermot. And Councillor McKee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And concurring with a lot of what I've said here tonight, I would thank the girls from Down High for bringing this note of motion forward. And I did refer to buying local, I believe that was said. And I think that's very important, because from my knowledge of it and having watched a television programme one night, there a lot of people were advised to, you know, maybe buy a lot of the vegetable, buy a lot of the fruit. But I think what they hadn't realised, a lot of this stuff is growing in Europe, in Spain, and it showed acres upon acres upon acres of, you would have thought it was a sea looking down from the air, but it was actually a plastic covering to grow the fruit. And then, in turn, it didn't last forever. It was taken to hillside and dumped. And over the years, it's disposed, it just literally withers away and washed down into the Mediterranean Sea and obviously creates all the problems down there. So, you know, people, I think, yes, if in some way, yes, we can buy local, I think that is very important. And the knowledge, the transparency of our growing, I just hope we can manage ourselves without having to go away in the outside world to purchase any type of food. I believe we have enough here of our own. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKee. Well, ladies, I think it's safe to say that your motion has well and truly passed tonight. I'd just like to congratulate you again. It was absolutely fantastic. I'd also like just to put on record a special word of thanks to Sarah and Sheila and Democratic Services and the Women's Working Group for pulling that whole event together. There was an awful lot of work done in the background on it as well, and it was a huge success. And also to the girls and the Down High and their teachers, because I'm not sure if everyone's aware, but they also did another initiative, which was bringing all the schools across the district during the COP26, has been referenced a couple of times. And you can see, I don't know where you can see these leaf pledges that they got all the schools across the district to get involved in. So I can't actually see behind the... So, well done. Congratulations. And look, ladies, I'm not sure if you're going to fit out the door tonight. Your heads must be that big after all that praise. So, listen, well done again. So, look, we'll move on to item number 16. which is Councillor Taylor's motion. Councillor Taylor, if you'd like to read out your motion, let us know who's seconding it. And this is going to be heard at full council tonight. Councillor Taylor, good luck following that motion which just heard.
Definitely, Chair, a hard act to follow now. And could I also, whilst obviously Councillor Allen has spoken on behalf of the party, I also want to pass on my thanks and congratulations to the peoples from Downhill for the excellent presentation that they made, and I wish them well and encourage them to continue in their activism. You know, they certainly have a lot to offer to our local community, and certainly hope that they'll continue to take that path in the years to come. My notice of motion, Chair, it will be seconded by Councillor Alan Lewis. And it states that this council notes with concern the significant increase in the cost of energy, recognises this will adversely affect many households across Northern Ireland, and calls on the Minister for Communities to establish a departmental-led fuel poverty task force to assist the department in developing solutions to support those impacted and prevent many more people from falling into fuel poverty. Chair, last Friday, the 3rd of December, was Fuel Poverty Awareness Day, and you know, never has this issue been so relevant. The cost of living is soaring. The skyrocketing rise in the cost of energy is placing untold pressures on many families across Northern Ireland. Over the past number of months, the Ulster Unionist Party, and in particular my colleague, Assembly Member Andy Allen, they have been lobbying the Communities Minister and indeed other executive colleagues to put a scheme in place to support the most vulnerable. My party brought a motion to the Assembly at the start of November, which was passed unanimously, calling for the establishment of a winter emergency fund. And we welcome the Minister's recent confirmation that she intends to launch a scheme before Christmas. Now, we do await the detail of this scheme at present, and I would encourage the Minister to bring this forward as a matter of urgency, given the seriousness of the problem that exists at present. My council colleagues in other areas across Northern Ireland have also brought this motion to their respective councils, and it has received, you know, similar support. We are calling for the establishment of a fuel poverty task force to deal with the short, medium and longer term challenges of fuel poverty. I don't think any of us are under any illusion that the creation of any scheme or fund will be the full resolution to this. This is going to be something that's going to be dealt with in the longer term, particularly as we face the challenge of ever increasing energy prices. And our call for such a task force has received support from many within both the community and voluntary sector, who work daily to support those impacted by fuel poverty. And as such, we believe it is vital that the Minister delivers on this call. Time is, however, of the essence, and I would ask the Minister to ensure the support fund and the task force are in place urgently, as many families across Northern Ireland desperately need solutions and support. Many families do face the unacceptable choice between heating and eating this winter, and that any family should face such a choice in this day and age is intolerable. And it obviously highlights the need for swift action to be taken. And I therefore hope all my council colleagues here tonight can support our motion, and that a task force to deal with this crucial matter, which brings forward long-term solutions, will be established in the immediate future. There's a moral responsibility to do so, to address the significant plight that's faced by many families, and it's clear that action needs to happen sooner rather than later. So I present this motion to all my colleagues here tonight, and I certainly hope that they can support what I've put before them here.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Lewis, you're happy to second. Do you want to come in?
I am, yes. Thank you, Chair. It's just to reiterate the points that's been made by my colleague, and I think that we've all heard the term either heat or eat, but since I was elected in 2019, I think that from the amount of people and houses that I've went to where that is a reality, and it's an increasing reality across this district, that the rise in people relying on food banks for their weekly sort of for their weekly shop. And I think there's no councillor in this chamber who hasn't dealt with that type of issue. With the global pressures that we've experienced over this past couple of years, there's a real increase in not just heating oil, but in fuel. So we actually now have people who's in a situation where they have to loan money to get diesel or petrol into the car to get them to work to pay themselves out of the debt that they put themselves into in the first place. And that's a really unworkable and a really heartening situation for some families. And I think if there is anything or any pressure that this council can bring or any merit in highlighting this issue, that's absolutely something which we should do. And I'm happy to second this motion, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Andrews, you're looking to come in?
Yes, thanks very much, Chair. First of all, that's a very good motion and very worthwhile and very, very appropriate. The SDLP motion in October on the cut to universal credit highlighted the issue starkly. We spoke, and I know many other councillors in the chamber right across the board have spoken to many families across the district who said they simply couldn't absorb the forecasted increases in household bills. We need to find solutions that will mitigate against these extortionate increases for the poorest families in our district. We firmly believe that inaction is not an option. And that's why the SDLP today published our 9-point plan to support families and individuals faced with this unprecedented cost of living crisis, which calls for the following. The Joint First Ministers to urgently convene a new task force to coordinate an executive-wide response. The Department for Communities to extend the winter fuel payment to all households on universal credit. Introduce a warm homes discount scheme similar to Great Britain. A ceiling placed on profits of energy companies, which I think is very important. The Department for Communities urgently published an updated fuel poverty strategy, and the Department for the Economy urgently publishing an energy strategy to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. And that's why we will support the motion in front of us, but if my good friend Councillor Taylor would accept the following amendment. To remove the Minister for Communities and replace with Joint First Ministers, replace Assist the Department with Assist the Executive. And also to add a wee call to extend the winter fuel payment to all households that receive universal credit and investigate the introduction of a warm homes discount scheme. So if Councillor Taylor would accept the amendment, the motion will read along the lines that this Council notes with concern the significant increase in the cost of energy, recognises this will adversely affect many households across Northern Ireland and calls on the Joint First Ministers to establish the Fuel Poverty Task Force to provide an executive-wide response to this crisis and assist in developing solutions to support those impacted and prevent many more people from falling into fuel poverty. Council calls on the Department for Communities to extend the winter fuel payment to all households that receive universal credit and investigate the introduction of a warm homes discount scheme. So I would be more than delighted if Councillor Taylor would support the amendment. But again, a very good motion that he's brought here tonight. Thank you.
Sure, I'm sorry. Listen, I don't want to be, but really, you really put another motion on top of my motion, Terry. It's not even an amendment. I'm sorry. And some of the issues, you know, I would have to discuss with my party at this stage, you know, in terms of where our policy stands. Certainly, I have some sympathy with what you've said there, but I just can't, you know, at this stage, accept all that you've said there. And I hope that you can still accept, you know, the motion that we've presented before us tonight. But there's quite a significant change to what we have put in front of us here. And something that, again, some of it's major policy that you're suggesting here. And it's something, that, again, that I would need to talk to the party about. And I can't make that decision by myself here tonight. So I hope you can understand that. Yeah.
I understand, but no, probably yeah. What the thing is that we're just put over our aspirations. Like, there's no need for you to accept fully, but we're just putting across our...
Yes, certainly, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So
yeah.
I hope you know where we're coming from. It is a very important yeah. subject, and
absolutely.
I just wanted to touch on the amendment, but as I say, you know, we've outlined our concerns. I'm sure councillors following me will be doing the same, but in the broad thrust and the broad principle of it, we agree very much with the sentiments you've expressed. But thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay.
Sorry, I let my mic off here.
Thanks, Terry. Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair. I too welcome this motion from Councillor Taylor. There can be no doubt that the significant increase in the cost of energy will adversely affect many, many households across the north. I've even noticed it myself in my own house. You're literally watching it all the time. Whilst this is a global problem impacting people right across the world, the increased costs come at the same time as the Tory government decision to cut £20 from universal credit and tax credits and raise national insurance contributions.
The combination of all these factors are not only going to increase the number of people experiencing fuel poverty, as highlighted by the motion, but the number of people falling into poverty overall. I want to acknowledge and commend the Minister for Communities for the work she has done to date in developing an anti-poverty strategy, which is currently in the co-design stage. While we need short-term interventions in the here and now, it is vital that there is a long-term sustainable strategy to address poverty in a way that makes a meaningful difference to people's lives. And I want to take the opportunity to highlight the importance of the Affordable Warmth Scheme that is funded by the Department of Communities and delivered by our local councils. While we know that low income and the cost of energy are two of the main drivers of fuel poverty, energy performance is the third, and the Affordable Warmth Scheme plays a crucial role in supporting many people who are homeowners or private renters locally to make improvements to this. I did have an amendment to the motion as well, Councillor Taylor, if you're happy to accept it. It's not far away from what you've proposed yourself. So my amendment would be that, or Sinn Féin amendment would be that we write to the executive calling on it to urgently establish a task force, and it would broaden it out to include the Minister for Finance, Communities and Economy to agree actions to protect and support the people in the face of spiralling energy prices. I think the Council should acknowledge the international scale of the energy crisis and the means of, and the response required from the British government, and also to call on them to remove the VAT from energy bills during the crisis and to implement a windfall tax on highly profitable energy companies. I would ask officers as well if there's any possibility that we could look at schemes within the Council which could support families in Uri Mourne and Down who may find themselves in fuel poverty. So I'll let you consider that, David. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Hannan. Councillor Tillery, happy to accept that amendment?
Sure, it's quite a bit of detail in that again. Now, I'm conscious, I've no issue with adding something in about working in conjunction with executive colleagues on this issue, but it's ultimately a responsibility for the Department for Communities, and I don't want to dilute that either. And again, there's policy issues about tax and stuff, and again, I wouldn't have the authority to make a decision on here this evening. So, you know, I'm happy to include a small, again, similar to Terry, I just don't want this being diluted. It's a very serious issue, and some of the points that have been made by both, you know, Terry and Una are very, very relevant. But I'm just conscious that, you know, again, it could be potentially, it's a motion in itself almost, you know, what you've suggested there. So it's certainly no issue about adding in a small bit about, you know, and causing the Minister for Communities with assistance from executive colleagues to establish, you know, but it's certainly a responsibility of the Department for Communities at this stage, and I don't want it to dilute away from that message either.
Councillor Hannan, do you want to come back in?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I don't agree with you. I think, you know, writing to the executive, it's ultimately their responsibility, and I think, you know, broadening it out to include finance and economy along with communities can only be a good thing, Councillor Taylor, because you're given a broad spectrum there. I don't mind removing the tax implications if that's something you need to go back to your party with.
Well, again, saying I've no issue mentioning, you know, calls on the Minister for Communities to work with colleagues in finance and economy. You know, I've no issue with adding something like that there into the motion.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. That's grand. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, that's great. Councillor Walker.
Thank you, Chair. And I want to commend Councillor Taylor for bringing this motion forward at a very pertinent time. We all know at the minute, particularly through COVID, in that people are finding it hard. I see it at first hand with working in a constituency office in Ballinahinch. The number of people that's coming in looking for crisis loans, as Councillor Taylor said, it's eat or heat, and they're coming in, and some of these people have maxed their loans out, so they have, from the DHSS, and they're left in limbo, you know, and I made a suggestion to the DHSS when I was speaking on some of their behalves, that you don't have to give them cash if they need heat. If you designate an oil supplier, you could maybe pay them directly. But people, and some of these people are people even that are in low paid jobs. in that. And they're coming in under pressure because of maybe 3, 4, 5 kids in that. And it's something that does need tackled. So it does. So we in the DUP will totally be supporting this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Enright?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I also commend the motion as well. I have some sympathy with Councillor Hanlon's suggestion that we extend it to finance. I know that last year we did pass a motion by myself requesting the Minister for Finance to pass the most modern set of building regulations to ensure that we have the same sort of building standards as the Republic or other European countries. I know that at that time I did talk about how a house built to our energy standards in Crossmaglen would have an energy bill annually of about £1,800 to £2,000, but a building in Dundalk of the same size, an energy bill of about £200 a year using the Republic's energy standards. So I would say to you that you know, we're in a hole with energy poverty, and we need to stop digging. You know, were we to adopt the correct building standards for our houses, there wouldn't be a growth in the number of people in energy poverty. All the houses built in our area over the last 5 years are going to have to be retrofitted over the next 10 years, and we don't know where the money's coming from to do that. And that's going to be the greatest proportion of houses in this area. And particularly for people living in energy poverty, even if there were grants, where would they get the rest of the money to make over their houses and bring them up to standard? So I would be inclined to suggest we should include the Minister of Finance, not just to deal with it on a fire brigade basis of throwing money at the problem, but the two long-term needs to create a fund led perhaps by the action group proposed in the motion to deal with phasing out fuel poverty by retrofitting buildings and bringing them up to the standards they need to be to deal with the global warming issue. And second of all, it's open to us in council. There is nothing in legislation that requires us to wait for the Minister for Finance before telling our own planning team and our own planning committee that we will not pass any house that doesn't meet NEDZ building standards. And we could eliminate fuel poverty in our council area without having to wait for Stormont and be within the law.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Councillor McKee, you have a question?
Yeah, it's really a comment, sorry. Chair, yeah, thanks for allowing me in there. And I would totally agree with David's Fuel Poverty Task Force and notice of motion. And yes, it does affect an awful lot of people. And if I am right, I think in the past, even this council had taken on a role in supporting and organising fuel to a lot of our homes, more than rather than one person buying £300 worth of diesel, and maybe got, it was mixed, a whole load of stuff was distributed throughout different developments, and that reduced the price a bit. And I can see this whole thing being exacerbated by come April of next year, whenever red diesel has gone away with, and every house and every piece of concrete structure you go to buy, whatever it is, from a foundation to a roof tile, it's all going to increase because red diesel done away with, diesel done away with for the construction vehicles, and I even realised there, it's also done away with the red diesel that is used for boring to actually find the oil in the first place. So therefore you could find an increase in fuel being extracted from the ground. So I'm only saying there's a lot more where I also find that every ton quarries are already planning for every ton of aggregate produced will be increased by £4 per ton come next April because they're no longer able to use red diesel and have to be white diesel. So again, I'm saying cost of energy will increase for everyone, and that's going to get worse. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKay. So, Councillor Taylor, I think your motion has been supported. Sarah has put the wording of the amended motion into the chat there.
Absolutely. And listen, thanks to everyone for the contribution. It's certainly been a, you know, it's an issue that's relevant to all of us, and it's an issue that all of us are dealing with on a day and daily basis at the minute. And I appreciate, you know, the fact that there has been some of the other suggestions. Unfortunately, I'm not in a position to make some of those major policy decisions, and I would have to I could find myself explaining myself. So, you know, I hope people, you know, within the chamber will understand that. But I do truly appreciate the fact that everyone has offered their support to what we've put forward here tonight, and let's hope that, you know, we can bring some positive progress in the coming days regarding that. So thanks again to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Cheers. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 17, which is the notice of motion, Road Network from Councillor McGuinness. And that's also been heard of full council here this evening. So Councillor McGuinness, would you like to read out your motion and let us know who's second in it as well?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Second in this motion tonight is Councillor Gerry O'Hare. I'll just read out the motion here first. That this council acknowledges the unacceptable condition of our road network, notes that the allocations from the Finance Minister allowed for the structural maintenance budget to be 120 million this year, regrets that resurfacing contracts have now been delayed until next year in the Nearing Mourne and Down Council area due to a legal challenge, is frustrated that badly needed investment for our roads is now delayed until next year and that this area has missed out on a year of proper investment in resurfacing, and calls for badly needed investment to be forthcoming on our roads as a matter of urgency and as soon as possible. Chair, road servicing in the four council areas of Nearing Mourne and Down, Mid Ulster, Derry and Strabane and Omagh is currently being delayed due to a legal challenge. The Department has issued letters in March 2021 providing notice of a decision to award the contracts in these council areas. Writs of summons were then issued on behalf of the three unsuccessful tenderers in the four areas, thereby preventing the department from awarding any of the four contracts. DFI then decided to discontinue the competition on the 4th of June 2021, which in turn means that there are no contracts for resurfacing in any of those areas. That means that badly needed capital investment will be delayed. DFI are now developing a new interim procurement strategy for resurfacing contracts to reduce procurement risks in relation to that area of work and release new tender competitions to the market as quickly as possible. The impact of this is that the 120 million for structural maintenance was originally allocated, however now the structural maintenance budget has fallen to around 80 million. We all acknowledge that small scale road repairs are still ongoing in these council areas through the Rural Roads Fund, but larger resurfacing projects have been delayed indefinitely. As an elected rep for the Slieve Gullion area, the roads in South Armagh are in a shocking state, and anyone who has visited the area will know that. A lot of other rural areas are possibly in a similar situation. It's very frustrating for elected reps as we get the brunt of the dissatisfaction from the public with the state of the roads. Many of our roads are already in an unacceptable condition and much needed investment into our network has been delayed. These legal issues need to be sorted out as soon as possible and work needs to begin early next year. We can't afford to wait any longer to get these roads fixed. These patchwork jobs on our roads are not doing us any favours, especially coming into the winter months. Anything that has been done by patchwork in the last 6 months is fading away already, so it's just a waste of money. So I would just ask people to support this motion that there are no more delays and that these legal issues are sorted out as soon as possible. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Una. Councillor Herr, are you having to second the motion?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to second it. Cathy, thanks, Una, for bringing it. Funny enough, I had a meeting with DFI, it was last Friday, just outside Muirbridge, the Muirbridge Hilltown Road. I don't know if you've noticed it, folks, coming from especially Armagh and the Newry ones, it's a massive hump just as you're coming out of Muirbridge, you know. So I had a meeting with them, and he understands, he says the roads, it's up for resurfacing. I says, can you do anything with this hump at all? And he says, there's no point spending money on this hump whenever it's up for resurfacing. So he's explained to me now there's a legal reason in it, and basically the whole road is up for resurfacing, but they just can't do it because all they're allowed to do is £15,000 stretch they can do. And trust me, the £15,000, it doesn't do an awful lot. So basically what they're saying, there's no point doing it because you're only wasting money. So please, if I'm just talking to my SDLP councillors here, if you can have a word with Nick Lamont or anywhere in DFI, please just tell her to get it sorted out, because she is the head of DFI here now. It's her, the buck stops with her here. So it's not only myself that's feeling it, you have to be feeling it yourselves, folks. So thanks, Una, for bringing it along. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry. So, Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. And I want to thank Councillor McGuinness for bringing this motion. I have to say that in my own Rowallan area, we do tend to get some work done when we ask and that, but I do know that year in, year out, when they give their annual report here, there is areas of the district that leave a lot to be desired. So it does. Now, I think the minister has a responsibility here in relation to funding and that. And what I would worry about here is, as we all know, at the end of the year, any monies that's not spent goes back into DFI's coffers. So it does. I wouldn't like to think that the minister, come the end of the financial year, because a lot of this money hasn't been spent because of legal challenges, goes back in where we have lost out. If, for example, we have 10 million quid, for example, in the kitty that couldn't have been spent, that money should be left there so as it can be rolled out when the dispute is sorted. Because it is a sorry state of affairs when our roads are crumbling around us in certain areas, that there's legal disputes and that. But our party will be supporting the motion, and the minister needs to act here and act swiftly. And as the presenter of the, or Gerry, Councillor Herr says, you know, it is the minister's responsibility, and I'm not having to go at the minister. If my minister it was, I would still have a go at them. You know, she needs to take responsibility here and get it sorted, so she does. But the DUP supports the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. A few points from the previous speakers that I want to touch on, especially the point from Councillor O'Hare and Councillor Walker, who says that, you know, lean on the SDLP councillors in the chamber to have a word with Minister Mallon. I can assure councillors right across the chamber that I speak with Minister Mallon all the time on issues like this. And as all councillors should be aware from speaking to their MLAs, our fellow ministers, that Minister Mallon brought this to Stormont in June 2021, completely open and transparent when it was brought to her attention. I just want to outline exactly what Minister Mallon had done before I actually hit on the motion, of which in essence I do support. The legal challenge outlined, and Gerry touches on that the buck stops at the minister. The legal challenge outlined in the motion is in relation to service maintenance contract award, of which the proposer has already outlined. It doesn't stop all other work, but it's an award process that was granted in 2015. I don't think members realise this. It was granted in 2015 when Danny Kennedy was the minister. And if we go back to 2015 when this process and these awards were granted and these contracts were granted, of which the Court of Appeal found in April that there has been major errors. And I would ask everyone to read the Northstone judgment, because it outlines how absolutely appalling the process was and how it breached all EU law in competition law as well. It's the Court of Appeal that ruled in April 2021, and that itself has an effect on the current process that we're going through. So that's what's thrown, this whole legal writ has thrown our current contracts into a mess because of what was happening in 2015. And if we go back to decisions, you know, made in procurement in 2015, how were the decisions made? Well, you go back and look, there was ministers in and ministers out the whole way through 2015. This is the time when Danny had left that ministry and passed the 7-day time for renominating. They didn't renominate for 7 days, and then it went down to the DUP. The DUP had their in-out ministers for 3 hours at a time. Michelle McElveen was nominated, and then she resigned herself 3 hours later. This went on that civil servants were running the department in 2015. So when I look back, and it wasn't minuted, and the shambles that was going on, I can look and say, well, I understand why you're in this position. But that's the ruling from the court. And for, as this motion states, you know, we regret the ruling from the court, but we can't ignore it. I mean, the Northstone judgment is absolutely damning, and we have to find a way around it. So it does put on pause these contracts, these large resurfacing and asphalt contracts. It doesn't stop any of the other work that's going on in the roads. And the minister, when she brought it to Stormont in June, to speak to all MLAs and be open and transparent about what was put on her desk, had said that she had launched an independent investigation into it, into what had happened from 2015 onwards, not of the Minister's handling, and that she would work with the Department of Finance and the Finance Minister, Conor Murphy, in order to work an interim policy for procurement, of which the proposer does talk about. And that interim policy for procurement has been finalised. And we know it's breaking the work down into four different areas, six different areas in four different lots, and that it starts in early in 2022. It's not acceptable that we find ourselves in this position, but that's the truth and the hard facts of it. You know, we can all throw our hands up in the air and complain about it, or we can try and find ways around it. I think the Minister's done all in our power to find ways around it. Listen, when I read this motion, it says the Council acknowledges the unacceptable condition of a road network. Do I agree with it? Of course I agree with it. I've stated in this chamber time and time again that we do not properly resource our infrastructure network, our road network in Northern Ireland. I've talked about the Barton report that was published back in 2017 that I think Chris Hazard was the minister before it had collapsed, and every MLA was talking about the findings in the Barton report and how we needed to implement them. We have implemented zero findings. That talks that we need 143 million to maintain our road network every single year. So when we come and talk about structural maintenance budgets of 120 million additional, it is a drop in the ocean. By 2017, we are 311 million behind where we should be. And that is building every single year. So the deficit that we had at that point in 2017 was 1.2 billion. The only way that we are going to address issues like this is if we work cross-departmental. If we work on budgets that are not single-year budgets, and I know we're having those discussions now, and that's for the next executive incoming, but those are decisions that we're going to have to make. Because there's no point when we talk about roads, if the next election somebody else comes in to the ministry, and politically we keep having potshots about a ministry that is underfunded and pointing to defects and potholes in the road. There will be defects and potholes in the road, because look at the Barton report. It says that the money and the time and the attention that we're putting into the Department of Infrastructure is appalling. I look at the monitoring rounds 2020, June and October. We were the lowest ministry in the monitoring rounds for receiving funds. Of all the bids that were put in, we are the bottom of the pile. Every other ministry, including the executive office, received more money than the Department of Infrastructure. I'm not going to argue about the monitoring round this year, because I do agree that of the £250 million, the £200 million goes to health. I completely agree with that. So yes, I am frustrated. But I don't think, you know, if we're bringing motions to council, which I agree with the sentiment of the motion, we have to go further than just explaining that we have a clear frustration with this. We can't challenge the legal writ and the legal process. I think, you know, the process is completely right, that those that were tendering for it, there was clear favouritism, that needs to be challenged. The Court of Appeal have made a ruling. There's nothing we can do about that. We can call for proper investment. That proper investment has to start, whether it's DFF, coming down into the departments, and if DFF have to go to the Treasury with cap in hand, we said politically that we will support that. But we need to get that funds from the level and up that we're meant to be getting in Northern Ireland, so we can properly resource and build on the infrastructure network. So I do, and the last few words I want to say, I do agree with the sentiment of the motion. I do agree that we want to see investment forthcoming for roads as a matter of urgency. I don't agree that we can do anything around this legal challenge bar work with the interim policy and procurement that we have in place right now that's going to roll out these projects in January 2022. But I do want to propose an amendment, because we need to do something from this. Yes, we can acknowledge the funds that are given from the Finance Minister, and I've outlined how they're a drop in the ocean. We can also acknowledge the work undertaken by the Minister for Infrastructure in developing the interim procurement policy, along with your colleague, Minister Murphy. But I do want to propose an amendment that we write to the Minister for Infrastructure to clarify the timeline for delivery of these schemes through this new interim procurement policy. Because that's what we have to relate to the people on the ground. And I fully agree with you, Una, that we are the ones that get it in the neck on the ground. But we need to be clear that this interim policy, how it delivers these schemes. We've all seen the schemes right across nearly Morning Down District. We know what the schemes are in our own local areas. We want to know if we broke down into four lots and six different projects, what it means for the timelines for delivery. The only way we're going to get that information is writing to the Minister to clarify the timeline of delivery through this new interim policy. So I'd ask that you would accept that amendment, and the SDLP will support the motion.
Councillor McGuinness, are you happy to accept that motion from Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, Cathy, I'm happy enough to accept that amendment from Councillor Byrne to write to the Minister for Infrastructure, just to get the detail of what's actually happening at the minute, so as we can relay that back to our own constituents for a better understanding of what this is all about, and hopefully we'll get it resolved a bit quicker.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Burgess?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we in the Ulster Unionist Party are going to support this notice of motion. It is very timely, and we are having a lot of problems with our road network at this moment in time, with a lot of road servicing not being done. I have roads in my area that's patched to patch till the road is on almost undriveable on. And I get it in the neck nearly every day, and I have every sympathy with what Peter Soley after saying there. And it's good that you're accepting the addition to the notice of motion, and we in the Ulster Unionist Party will support that. Thanks for that.
Thank you, Robert. Councillor McAteer.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Yeah. Well, just to drop, it was just cancelled recently, and it's £110,000 for the Dromore Road, Ballinhinch, £85,000 is the Foley. So there is money being spent, and it's a wee bit disingenuous probably to try and proportionate blame to the minister. Councillor O'Hara asked for the SDLP colleagues to get in touch with her, Power Minister Molland. But the minister isn't the judge, jury, and she hasn't the power actually to take over and hold a kangaroo court, unfortunately. But certainly we'd be in contact with her. So it is beyond her realm, really, the legal process. And in fact, you know, even taking the motion, there could be some danger in that in terms of being subjudice, you know, at the moment. So we will support, obviously, the motion, certainly with the amendment my colleague made. But just caution not to try and lump the blame all with the minister, as seems to be the flavour of the last 6 months anyhow. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Councillor O'Murray?
Yeah, just to commend Una on the motion. Understand Pete and Declan getting a wee bit sensitive there on protecting the minister. Don't think the motion in itself was set out to directly attack Nicola Mallon on it. I know that Gerry did come in when he was seconding it and suggested that some of the councillors maybe contact her to let her know. My own thinking on it, like the general 5/8 out in the public who are driving these roads, who are living on these roads, you know, it's the legacy of the Department of Infrastructure, of the Minister of Infrastructure of any certain time. Now, nobody expects the minister to get involved in this court case and to try and overturn anything. That has to take its due course. But yeah, Pete, you hit the nail on the head. Like, write to the minister and ask the minister for a timeline of when things are going to improve for the people. And that type of thing helps people to understand what's going to happen in the year ahead, what's going to happen in the 6 months ahead. You know, Pete, it was very interesting listening to you talking about the underfunding that the Department of Infrastructure has gotten year on year on year on year, and you can see it's only growing, it's only getting greater, it's only getting greater. And all the time, the roads in County Louth and County Meath and down into Dublin are improving and improving and improving and improving. And, you know, we've got an all-Ireland approach to health in certain issues. We need to take a look about how we can get an all-Ireland approach to infrastructure and roads, because what we have at the minute is broken, and it's not going to be fixed. There's a legacy of bad roads and poor roads in South Armagh that's going back to the 1950s and 60s. And there were bog roads at the time, and there was a wee skater tar put over the top of them. And we expect fantastic roads in South Armagh now, or the electorate expect fantastic roads. And they're never going to happen with the budget that is at the disposal of the people who are trying their best to roads. To work in the roads service, Paul Murphy and Paul Kelly that we work with, they do care. They want to get this done. They just cannot get it done. So, like, when it's so badly broken, you need to look at a new approach. And so by us acknowledging as a council that, you know, it ain't working the way it is, surely write to the minister and ask her for a timeline and that there, and let's start working as we can to look at alternatives. Gormagos.
Thank you, Barra. Councillor McKee?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, totally agree with your Councillor McGuinness's notice of motion. We're all very familiar with poor state of roads, and no later than what, 3 months ago, I was given assurance from Southern Division, DFI, that the main street in Greencastle Street and Kilkeel would be repaired. It is just an exceptionally wide lane, badly maintained lane, if you like. It's got so bad, it's patch upon patch, it's total disgrace, and I was assured it would be fixed. And then obviously this other legal dispute is ongoing, and maybe what Councillor McAteer has said, it's not entirely maybe down to the minister, it's probably maybe more legal things where our minister can push it along, and I only hope she can get that moving. Some have said, one or two have mentioned about the finances and hope they're in another year. At this stage, it hadn't been included in the notice of motion, and just a few lines, and I think Councillor McGuinness wouldn't mind, I would just add it. It's only a line after the word possible, which includes $120 million retained and reinvested in 2022. Something of that effect, just to be sure that it's in there and that money is not lost. It'd be an awful spite if we lose that money and we're back to where we started, because we're going to need double the amount of money spent next year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor McKay. Councillor McGuinness, are you happy to accept that amendment from Councillor McKay?
Sorry, I'm on mute. Can I just ask you to repeat, Carl, what were you at looking at earlier?
On the very last word possible, or somewhere like that, just to state, which includes £120 million retained and reinvested in 2022.
Yeah, that should be no problem. I'll happy enough to add that in. Thanks.
Thanks for that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Malone?
Thanks, Chair. Excellent motion by Councillor McGuinness. I think it's an understatement to say that the roads are in an appalling way. So well done, Una, and support that all the way. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Gavin. So I think with those couple of amendments, the motion has passed. And did you want to come in just to sum up?
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and thanks to everyone who's made a comment and for the cross-party support for this motion. The motion wasn't intended to attack any minister. It just so happens that it happens to be an SDLP minister on the roads. Every party, including the SDLP, is frustrated by what's going on at the minute. I'm just happy this has received support and happy enough to accept the amendments for the timeline of what's coming down the road, and pardon the pun, and of Councillor McKay's amendment too. So thanks very much, everyone.
Thank you, Councillor McGuinness. Yeah. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 18, which is the notice of motion from Councillor Brown about free car parking for electric vehicles. This is being referred to the ERT committee. Councillor Brown, are you happy to read out your motion as it is and let us know who is seconding it, please?
Yeah, that's great, Chair. Thank you. By the way, I just spotted a small typo there in the motion. I don't know if that was my fault when I sent it in or happened in the upload, but where it says invective there should read incentivise, in case anyone was wondering, and if I could just make that change now. The motion reads as follows, in the interest of encouraging people to reduce their carbon footprint and incentivise the ownership of electric vehicles in the district, council will introduce free car parking for electric vehicles in all council-owned car parks, and I believe Councillor Enright is seconding that.
Okay, thank you. You're happy to second it, Councillor Enright? Thank you. Okay, then notice of motion, or item number 19, the notice of motion from Councillor Enright regarding the meeting government targets for electric vehicles. Could I be happy to read your motion as it is and let us know who's seconding it, please?
Thanks, Chairperson. I would make the point that at the time of writing, the number of parking bays and car parks was correct, but I've subsequently discovered quite a few more car parks and parking bays. I'm keeping a list. Anyway, in the Newry Mourne and Down District Council area, there are over 7,000 officially designated parking bays spread over 180 car parks between Carrickduff and County Monaghan, mostly managed by AHC, with a smaller number managed by ERT. They have 13 charging points, with 6 of these currently not working. That means this means that only people with large front gardens with the capacity for charging points have electric cars in the Newry, Mourne and Down area. Council sets a target for every car park to have one charging point within a year, and for 5% of all council-managed parking bays to have charging points by the year 22-23, ramping up from there to meet the government's targets, both north and south, of no new diesel or petrol cars being sold by 2030. If possible, this programme of investment should mimic Dundee Council and become a long-term revenue generator for the council. Thanks, Chairperson.
And who's seconding your motion, Councillor Enright?
Patrick Brown.
Councillor Brown, you're happy to second?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. And that's being referred to the SPNR committee. So thank you very much. Folks, that's us at an end this evening. Safe home to everyone in the chamber and enjoy the rest of your night. And happy Christmas to everyone. This is our last meeting before the big day. So look, everyone have a safe and peaceful break, and everyone get a bit of a rest after a hectic year for everyone, I think. So listen, happy Christmas, everyone.
Thanks, Chair. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Bye.
God bless.
Happy Christmas.